Amen. How many's happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Come on, I know it's a Tuesday night, you know, and I know this is midweek, and I know people, you know, are tired from work, but you know what? Don't ever underestimate what could happen on a midweek service. God, the Bible says, where two or three gather and agree, that he is in the midst of thee. I can tell you this, a little testimony, speaking from experience, my uncle, who had been backslidden for about 12 to 13 years, Brother Biddle, on a Tuesday night prayer meeting, not even during a service, a Tuesday night prayer meeting, he gave me a call and he said, "Hey, are you anywhere by the church?" And I was out of town, actually. And I said, "No." I said, "I'm about 15 minutes out." And he goes, "Well, I'm here at the church right now." And I was like, "Was something okay? Like, is everything okay?" Like, I thought that my grandmother had just called him to handle something for her. I figured that he was just there talking to my grandmother about something. I didn't put two and two together, and that's a shame on me for even doing that. He said, "Seth, why would I be at the church? Why would I be at the church on a Tuesday night?" And I was like, "Oh, man." And I got so excited. And I started speeding home. And when I bust through them double glass doors on a Tuesday night prayer meeting, my backslidden uncle of 13 years prayed back through to the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Don't ever think that just because it's a Tuesday night, nothing special can happen. Don't ever think just because it's a Tuesday night, nothing miraculous can happen. Because I've seen it. I've lived it. I've experienced it. Amen. That part was free. I'm so thankful, and I give honor to your pastor, Brother Biddle, Pastor Biddle, tonight. He is a very dear friend of mine. I never knew him until I met my wife, and I would visit the church over there on Man Road over there, and I would visit on Tuesday nights because I knew that they had service on Tuesday nights, and I wanted, you know, to get to see her, and I knew if I was going to have to see her, if I wanted to see her through the week, I was going to have to go on Tuesday nights. So I was going to a lot of church just to see the girl that I was chasing after. And then I'm glad that I got to do so, because now I got to meet some wonderful people, and I've almost got the Biddle family tree down. I think I'm right there. I think I'm only missing. There's some cars thrown in there. There's some Datsuns thrown around in there somewhere. But, you know, I got the main trunk of it down, you know. So I always got to give them a little bit of grief every time I come around about that. It's just funny to me. If you would you turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 1. And can I hear a great big amen when you have it? Amen. "And now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? And tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And then he said, Go and borrow thee vessels abroad of all of thy neighbors, and even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all of the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And so she went from him, and she shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go and sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Friend, with the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach to you on this subject, give me the oil. Give me the oil. Brother Biddle, if you would you pray? Give me the oil. So when we read this passage, when we, you know, take a look at the text, you know, we read about a woman here who has reached a point of desperation. She has reached a point that she has came to. She has reached a crossroads in her life, and she does not believe she knows where to go. She doesn't. She's reached a point of panic. You know, she's reached a point of anxiety in her life. And I would argue that we tend to overlook the most important person in this story. And that would be the dead prophet that we read about. You see, the prophets carried the oil with them everywhere that they went. They carried the anointing oil on them because they never knew if they were going to be assigned to anoint a king or another prophet or, you know, whoever it was. The oil was a substance of value to them. When they were chosen to become prophets, that oil is, they guarded the oil with their life, Brother Biddle. Now, Brother Biddle, I don't know if you do this with your ministers here or not, but my pastor, like ministers at my church, we carry anointing oil on us if we ever are to go visit the sick or the elderly, and it's time for us to lay hands on them. The oil is sacred. The oil is sufficient in the time of adversity. So this woman who reaches desperation, she's panicking and she's anxious and she's in fear. She's in fear for the life of her children. She's about to lose her children. She had forgotten about the oil. Elisha asked her, "What belongings do you have? What do you have of any value?" And she said, "Thy handmaiden said that she has nothing but save a pot of oil." Come on, that'll preach. And I'm getting ready to dive into it just a little bit. So she thought she didn't have anything. Her handmaiden said, "Save a pot of oil." She thought she didn't have anything in the house. Her husband didn't have any money to leave behind to her. He said, "I don't have any fancy furniture to leave behind to you. I don't have any fancy heirlooms to leave behind to you. Oh, but what I've got is something more valuable, more precious, and more life-sustaining than anything of any physical nature can be. My friend, the oil is that precious gift of the Holy Ghost that resides inside of each and every one of you. Somebody give me the oil." So she had been pacing her home in fear and pacing her home in panic and pacing the floors with worry when the answer was right under her nose the whole time. During the peak of this pandemic that we've been in, hand sanitizer was sold at almost $50 a bottle. Even the pocket size keychain ones that you carry on your purses would be sold as high as $50 a bottle. And so what I say about that is, as the adversity of the pandemic increased, the value of the sanitizer increased. So as our adversity in our daily walk with Christ increases, the value of the oil shall increase. The oil is sufficient in the face of adversity. The oil has always been and always will be enough. In the time of danger, in the time of fear, in the time of uncertainty, my God, somebody give me the oil. So like I said, as our adversity increases, the value of the oil increases. And the world will try and tell you different. The world will try and suggest another way for you to cope with your problems. The world can offer you so many different things, young people and adults alike. The world will try and tell you that, you know, you've had a traumatic experience happen. So you need to go talk to this stranger and this stranger and this stranger. And I'm not trying to dog anybody who goes and talks to a professional. I myself would not mind having an advocate to talk to, but I've got an advocate with the Father. And that is inside a vessel. That is inside my spirit. The world will try and say, take this pill and everything will be all right. But they try and gain profit off of everybody's adversity. People writing books on how to save a marriage. People writing books on how to fix relationship with loved ones. Books that are written by people who don't even know you. They never loved you. They don't know you by name. But I knew somebody who knew me before I was created. And I'm telling you, the oil is enough. The oil is sufficient in every situation. Can somebody say, give me the oil? They try and offer you watered down solutions. They try and offer you, you don't need all of that Jesus stuff. You don't need to go to church two or three times a week. You don't need to go to a men's prayer breakfast or men's prayer group because you know what? You're busy. They'll understand. You've got other things that you've got to do, young man of God. The world will try and tell you it's okay to do this and this and this. They'll try and water down the truth, try and water down the solution. But my friend, water and oil don't mix. If you've ever seen water and oil poured into the same vessel, the oil always rises to the top. I'm telling you, friend, today, somebody needs to stand up and say, give me the oil. Because I'm telling you, in this day, in this very hour, there's nothing more sacred, nothing more valuable than the oil. And what I find funny is this woman had grown up around this oil in her house her entire life. And she had been brought up in it. She had known about it. She knew that her husband always carried this oil on him. And when the time of adversity had struck, when that, you know, time of uncertainty happened, when the bondsman or when the clerk came knocking at the door saying, hey, it's either you give me something of value or I'm going to take your two children. The panic sets in, and all she had to realize that what she had lying in her the center of her home had been good enough all along. How is it that we tend to forget when adversity strikes that what we have inside of us is more important? She had forgotten about the oil. She was stressing and trying to find her own solution when the answer was in her home this entire time. Friend, when you have no peace in your home, get to the oil. When you have no peace or joy in your life, you've got to get to the oil. When you're sick in body, you've got to get to the oil. Do you know what I'm saying today? When the bills are due and payday isn't but a week away, you've got to get to the oil. When the car's not running and you got to get to work, somebody's got to get to the oil. When the doctor says, I think you have cancer. And there's nothing I can do. We've got to get to the oil. I'm here to tell somebody today that the oil is sufficient. When you think you've done all you can do, when you think you've done all you can possibly do, you, yourself, your physical man, Brother Biddle, Brother Schultz, any of you, Sister Schultz now. I had to say that because she's my favorite Biddle sister, and she'll always be my favorite Biddle sister. So, and I only said that because the other two are in here, so keep that our little secret. Anyway, so. When you think that you've done everything that you can possibly do, you've got to get to the oil. Get to the oil. Get back to it. Go to that place that you've once been before. That secret place in your home. That secret place in your spirit. Oh, you guys probably seen me blubbering like a crying baby because that song means so much to me. Oh, you weren't there the night that Jesus found me. Oh, you didn't feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. Oh, friend, I've stepped away from the oil a time or two. Oh, and I thought I was out of God's reach at one time in my life. Oh, but I'm here to say I got back to the oil. Oh, you think you can leave it. Oh, but he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. You can push every ounce of your Holy Ghost down to your toes. Oh, but guess what? You still got it inside of you. It's time to get to the oil. I think some of us need to realize and remember just how great the value of the oil really is. I think it's time for some of us to remember and realize what it was at that day that we went down in a watery grave in Jesus' name. I think it's time that we stood up and stand up and recognize the very power that we have inside of us and not to keep it on the shelf like the woman did for so long in her home. Oh, I'm here to tell somebody today, it's time to get back to the oil. It's time to get back to the basics. Oh, but here's the thing, some of us need to realize how much responsibility comes with the oil. Come on. Not just anybody was allowed to carry this oil. Not just anybody is allowed to maintain the vessel of the oil that the prophets had. To be a little bit of a comic book nerd, Uncle Ben in Spider-Man said, hey, with great power comes great responsibility. Come on. And I don't mean that to be funny. I mean that because that is the absolute truth. Hey, if I'm going to walk this walk, if I'm going to talk this talk, young men of God who have a call on their life, it's time for me to start acting a certain way. It's time for me to start talking a certain way. And I don't mean to harp on you. I'm just saying from experience. Hey, come on, somebody. If we're going to, you know, like I said, it's just time for us to realize how great of a responsibility it is, how heavy of a load this vessel of oil can be. Hey, 2 Timothy says that we got to study to show thyself approved. Hey, we got to work in the church. You got to be willing to get down on your hands and knees, picking up every ounce of paper if it's possible. Young men of God, if you think that you have a calling in your life, but you're not willing to get in here and work and do the dirty work, my friend, you don't have a call. You just want to be in the spotlight. I don't know why that came out like that. I don't know why. I had a friend one time that I was working with at church, and we was trying to put on a skit for a dinner to raise some money one time. And one of the roles, it was just a joke. It was just an imaginary role, Brother Biddle. And this young man claimed to have a call on his life to preach. And we was acting like that we was hosting a board meeting for this little skit that we had. And I said, okay, Ethan, I didn't mean to say his name. I said, for this role that you're going to have, you're going to be the janitor of the church. I'm going to be the treasurer. You know, we're just going to act like we're having a board meeting. And he goes, oh, come on, man, the janitor? Really? I was like, you trying to say you're too proud to clean toilets for the Lord, son? Come on. Hey, are you too proud to go and visit the widows? Are you too proud to go and visit the sick? I don't know why that's coming out, Brother Biddle. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to... That wasn't even hardly in my notes. It says, study to show thyself approved. Oh, let me get back to my notes real quick. So we go back and we visit this widow woman and we read about the miracle of the oil. And so now after her struggle and after her panic, she now realizes that the oil was sufficient. My favorite part of the passage is when it says, the oil stayed. they poured and they poured and they poured and they poured and they poured, filling the vessels. Elisha said, borrow not a few. That means many, multiple, tens, dozens, hundreds, I don't care. Fill it as much as you can go. And when they said there was no more vessels, that original vessel stayed full. Come on, somebody. It's like the time the widow woman during the drought and the man of God came to her home and said, hey, fix me something to eat. And she said, I've only got enough oil and enough meal to make one small little cake for me and my boy. And guess what? We're going to eat that cake and then we're going to surely die. And he said, make of me to eat first. Have faith enough in God to make of. Come on, somebody's not hearing it. Have enough faith that the Lord will provide. Make it for me first. And I promise you that cruse of oil will never run dry. And throughout the drought, there has always been enough oil. Oh, notice how it said there was always just enough. It was always just enough. Oh, we got to get to the oil. If I can go ahead and have the music come in closing. So this woman, this wife of the now dead prophet, who in uncertainty and in panic and in fear for the life of her children. Now sometimes, you know, and me being a new father, I can tell you this, that there's nothing more scary than something bad happening to my baby girl. If I see the slightest flinch, if I see her get more than 10 feet away from me, I panic and I just want to go and grab her. Or, you know, she's been dealing with this sickness and she starts to cough and she starts to heave in that. And I'm worried that she's going to start gagging and she's going to choke and suffocate herself. So I'm constantly exhausted because I'm constantly worried about my little girl. So I can imagine the fear that this woman had for the life of her two children. And I can imagine that she, you know, because of the panic and the fear of her children, that it causes her to be blind to what it was that she had in her home all along. And that, my friend, is the oil. The oil has always been enough. And it is sufficient in the face of adversity. Can we stand in this house today? In closing, I want to tell you a couple bit of fun facts here. See, what most of you don't know about me is when I was younger, in my younger working days, I worked at Rule King. How many know what Rule King is? Ain't that God's gift to man? Come on. Ain't that one of the best stores you could possibly go to? So I used to work at Rule King, and I was what they called a loader. So I worked in the feed department, Brother Biddle. And they would just call me up to the front if there was something heavy that needed to be picked up. Well, because I was a loader, I was also in charge of babysitting and handling the chickens and the ducks and the turkeys when they came in to the store. And because I had to be certified on how to handle these critters, they sent me over to Mattoon, Illinois, where the corporate office is, so I could take courses so that I could handle these said feathered critters. Now, did you know that if you have ducks on your property, the mosquito population is cut down 98%? And did you know that if you have ducks on your property, the tick population is cut down just about the same? And did you also know that if you take a male duck and stick it in a coop of hens, the hens will lay just as much for the male duck, but the male duck cannot fertilize the eggs. So therefore, you're getting more of an abundant yield of eggs for you to harvest. But my favorite fact about the duck is the duck has a gland on the back of its neck that secretes an oil. And they use that beak, that bill, and they do what's called preening, and they preen their feathers, and they just spread the oil all over their bodies, covering them from head to toe in oil. Because what is it? Water and oil don't mix. It's so that when they can swim on the water, their feathers don't get too heavy and they don't sink to the bottom. Oh, but wait, I'm not done yet. There's more to it. And this is the beautiful part about it. You see, when you get a flock of ducks together, that fly together, that travel together, that eat together, that stand together, swim together, walk together, you will see them preening each other. They'll say, oh, hey, you missed a spot here. I'm going to cover you with some oil here. Oh, hey, you missed a spot here. Hey, I think I'm going to cover you with a little bit of oil here. Hey, friend, I see you're going through a struggle right now. So I'm going to preen you and I'm going to cover you with some oil. I'm going to reach the throne room for you. Oh, my friend, we got to get back to the oil. So if we could just stand in unity, if I can invite you to make your way up to the front, maybe we can begin to preen each other and cover each other in oil. Oh, Lord, get me back to the oil. Oh, Lord, take me back. Oh, help me to be the man that you've called me and created me to be. Oh, Lord, I know there's a call on my life, Lord. Lord, I'm not worthy to carry this vessel, Lord. Oh, but God, only you. God, you don't qualify you don't call the equipped, Lord. You equip the called. Oh, as we can just begin to pray right now.